You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Down like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Atlas knows what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Mox and Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. Marco Bill here. Well, sorry, folks, we're a little late on the air tonight. Had a little bit of a casualty on my streaming computer. It went down just before the show started, so I had to reboot it again. Sorry, and it took a couple of extra minutes to make that happen. But we're back on again. Should be everything. Everybody should be tuned in. Like to thank everybody out there, for all the listeners and also our Bigfoot family members that have sent us emails and in guest book and Facebook entries to us. Some guys from a couple of our listeners in England gave us a shout out saying that they enjoy the show, and they're passing it around over there. So I guess there's a lot of interest in the show over there. I'd like to put a little prayer out to all of our Bigfoot family and listeners out there. Any of you that may be sick and in distress, it's a wonderful life we got. However, sometimes it gets interrupted by those things that aren't very good. And so all of you out there that are suffering from sickness and just plain suffering from the lack of money or anything else. We sent you out a good prayer and hope that everything works out well for you. We got a heck of a show tonight. We got a couple more guests that we normally have on the show, but we've had some. The Bigfoot Hotline has really been hot in the last week here, and I've gotten too many calls. One thing I'd like to do to everybody out there: look, if you call and you're using a private number or an unlisted number, I can't. There's no way that I can call you back. I don't know your number unless you give it to me. And I've had five or six calls, and they haven't left a voicemail. I've been texted, and they texted me, but they didn't leave a number to call back. So there's no way that I can return a call to you unless I have the number to call you back at. And when you call us using an unlisted number or a private number, there's no way that I can foretell who it is. So just bear with it. I mean, I've got one guy's really mad at me for not responding to his 15 or 20 calls. And as many times as he's called, I've not been able to return his call because I don't have his number. It's just make yourself aware of that. Sometimes it's something easy to overlook. You know, you're thinking about, you don't want anybody to have your number and everything, but obviously you have to give some information if you want to be contacted back again. And we're going to keep it confidential anyway. We're not going to do anything with your number or anything. But it's just a little cautionary thing. I know it's frustrating some of you, but that's the way it works. Anyway, we had I'll tell you, there's action all over the place. Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma. Wow. Amazing. It is the start probably now, or should be shortly, of the migrational period for these things. So I would expect, and also it's turning into, you know, things are starting to thaw out. It's getting warmer. However, as warm as it does get, and there's been a couple places where it's gotten really warm, 80 degrees one day and freezing the next. The weather changes drastically, and it causes, I think, a lot of consternation into these creatures. They're not quite sure what the heck's going on and what to gear up for. But anyway, we're gonna go out here, and we're gonna talk to one of our new guys on here, Steve from New York. And Steve has had various encounters here, and he's going to tell us all about them. Steve, how are you tonight?
Good. How you doing? How's everybody?
Pretty good. It's really good. Well, Steve, you've had some recent encounters, but you've also had some previous ones. Why don't you start out and just give us a little bit of an overview of how things happened with you.
Well, it happened with me. The first encounter I had, I was about 8 years old, and I was at my house, and I went to the front closet to get something out of the closet, and it was during the summer, and the door was open, and we had a screen, and I heard something growling to my right, and I looked over, and there was a creature that was about 8.5 feet tall, the brown hair, you know, all over the body. It looked human, but it wasn't. And as a child, you know, you're looking at it, and you're trying to figure out what it is. You know, you think it could be a monster or whatever. But, you know, it was real, and it was staring at me for about 30 seconds. And I ducked away, and then I came back about a minute later, and it was gone. When I was 12 years old, and I was in the woods one time walking, I heard something growling, and a tree was being shaken. I mean, it was just unbelievable the way it was being shaken. And I saw it, and I didn't really see the Bigfoot that time, but, you know, then I heard footsteps walking away as I walked away as well, and it was on 2 feet. And later on, you know, I've had several other encounters, but, you know, the one that really sticks out to me the most was the one I was telling you about. That was August 23rd of 2012. I had just left my sister's house, and I got into my car, and I looked over to the left, and there was something on all fours, which was a Sasquatch, and it was looking at me, and he was swaying back and forth, looking at me. And as this creature got up, let me tell you, you know, looking at its back, you know, the massiveness, the muscle, you know, the typical, the cone-shaped head of the Sasquatch, its legs, its thighs, and it got up, and, you know, he was more interested in me not hurting him. He didn't care about anything else. And the incredible thing was, he took two steps to cross the street and another step to go over this ridge. And it's just, you know, that encounter right there, because I've had about six or seven altogether where I've seen him. But this one was about 40 seconds, and there was absolutely no obstruction whatsoever in front of me. And there was no way that it could have been a person or anything else but a Sasquatch. And, you know, from that moment on, even though, like I said, I've seen him so many other times, you know, people say, oh, yeah, it could be your imagination, or you might have made a mistake. And believe me, these creatures are real, and I've seen them. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm a five-time cancer survivor. I've worked for New York City Department of Homeless Shelters, and, I've dealt with guys who are criminals, and I was never scared in my whole entire life of any of this stuff. But when I saw that Sasquatch that time and the other encounters I had, another time when I was in the woods and it growled at me and actually threw a log at me, it scared the living daylights out of me. And, you know, these things, it's really, and, you know, these creatures are so beautiful, but at the same time, you know, they're dangerous too.
Yeah, what can you, well, how about this? Could you give us a kind of a description of what you saw, facial features of any,
Features? You know, I saw two different types. Now, I saw one that was in a tree that was more darker, like darker hair, and it was more, it basically looked like an ape. It had very few human features to it, you know, and that's, that one was probably about 6.5 feet. I only saw him for a few seconds, and he jumped down and he took off. Now, the one, especially the one that I saw that was right in front of me that time with no obstruction, it looked so human that it was scary. I mean, you could see its face. You know, it was the typical, like, you know, the Bigfoot colors. I mean, I was so close to it that, you know, he had the brownish hair. He had some red hair in there, too. He had some blonde hair in there and a couple of streaks of dark, you know, dark hair. And the face was probably, I would say, half ape and half human, you know. And it was just something that, you know, when you see something like that, it changes your life forever, you know. And I saw one recently a couple of weeks ago. I was looking out my window. It was about, I don't know, about 500 or 600 feet away. And I was telling you the other day, it was actually walking on its knuckles. But it was from far away.
Walking,
but when I went over there, you know, I was able to record a footprint with using my phone. And hopefully, you know, I could find a way to get it to you guys soon.
Well, that's pretty neat. Now, the last couple of weeks, you've had some activity going on as well. What kind of activity been going on?
Absolutely. Well, I've heard wood knocks, and last night, like around 3 o'clock, there was I heard like one of the typical, you know, screams when they do, like that one loud yell, and then there was some wood knocks going on. And now where I am, I'm convinced that there's a family of about 16 of them living there. And they have, there's juveniles, and I've seen juveniles. I saw a juvenile on one occasion. And, I mean, I've had other people who were with me seen them as well. I mean, there was one occasion when I was getting out of my car with somebody, and this thing was about 20 feet away hiding behind a tree, and it screamed at me at the top of its lungs. That also scared the hell out of me, too. I mean, there's, these things scare you. You know what I mean? It's like, but, you know, they fascinate me, you know what I mean? And the thing about with Bigfoots, we all know, I know there's people who believe in them and who've seen them, you know, like me, for example. I know you have as well. And there's other people who are going to think you're crazy when you say it to them because, you know, I'm from New York, and I live, you know, less than 100 miles from New York City. You know, I'm less than 2 hours from New York City, and I have so many of these things here. And I think people just don't realize that they're there. I mean, I think that people don't pay attention to things. And, you know, a lot of times they might be there and you don't even see them. But being that, you know, I've had so many experiences with them, I know what to look for, and I'm always out there looking for them, and I seem to have a tendency of running across them all the time. that have seen them. So, I mean, I you know, I'm, in one way, you say to yourself, well, you're fortunate, but at the other time, too, it's like, you know, that scare factor is always there. Believe me when I tell you that.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you totally. I don't think there's any, there's very few people that I'm aware of that that aren't frightened when they see something like that. It reminds me of a girl from, I think it was Arkansas. She was about an 18-year-old girl was out in the garden hoeing weeds this past summer, last summer, right?
Uh-huh.
And her grandfather's, you know, kind of old, and he would limp around. And she thought that he was coming up alongside her while she was hoeing the weeds. Because, you know, he, when he moves, he kind of makes kind of like a grunt, right? You know, because his legs or his knees or whatever are not too good. And it's hard for him to get around. And anyway, she's hoeing in the garden, weeds. And she hears the grunt. She looks over, and she thought it was her grandfather. She looks again. She looks again about 10 feet from her. And it's an eight-foot creature right there. And then it screamed at her. And she dropped the hoe, and she dropped everything, and she went running for the house. She locked herself in the house. She didn't know what the hell to do. And then later on, she called us. But, you know, it didn't do anything to her, or you just, you know, just made a grunt and a noise at her. But when you see something that big, and you know that something that big could just reach out and knock you over without even trying, it's a kind of a scary situation. And most people that I've had reports from, almost all of them, everyone has that kind of a fear, that type of fear.
Absolutely, and that, you know, believe me, you know, I saw one time as well, like I was telling you the other day, it was chasing a deer, and it was running so fast. I mean, it was just like a 3-second view, but this thing, I don't know how fast it was going, but I have never seen, there's no way that, you know, it was a person or anything else other than a Sasquatch. This thing was like hauling, and it just, you know, seeing how fast it was running and just, and I believe it when I tell you, it did get the deer. And I think that's one of the reasons why they're always there, because I have a baseball field right next to my house. And right there's always deer in the baseball field. And I think they use that. They hide behind these pine trees that are over there. And they wait for them to be on the baseball field, and they sneak up and they catch them. And I'll tell you, it's in my neighborhood, if you see any deer and you do a Bigfoot call,
yeah,
these things, they get paranoid and they start running for the hills, man.
I understand. Well, Steve, I want to thank you for coming on tonight and sharing with us. Now, we're going to have a segment at the end of the show.
You're welcome.
It's open discussion, and there'll probably be a lot of questions and things from other and you may
sure
have questions of other people that you're listening to. You'll be able to listen to everything on the air here. And we're going to mute you out for now. We're going to go on to our next guest to make sure we're on our timeline. But thank you so much for coming on, and thank you so much for sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you at the end of the show here.
Absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Steve from New York. Next, we're going to go out here to, well, I think we're going to go out here. Here we go. My little control panel all of a sudden went blank, and it just came back again. I'm having all these little stupid little problems here. What we're going to do is we're going to talk to Anthony from Virginia, and we're going to see what's been going on with Anthony. Anthony, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Now, Anthony sent us a sound file, and he had actually a couple, and these are some of the files that you've taken in the last couple of weeks, right?
That is correct.
And, you know, Anthony, I listened. I couldn't get it up in time. When the sound file would not upload to my, you know, on my upload thing, and I was having problems with it all day. I don't know why. And so I couldn't get it loaded onto the where I could play it for everybody. But we're going to have it. I'll rectify that during the week here. We'll have it on so people can take a look at it. But what I did do is I did listen to it. The one was kind of weird. And the other, it kind of sounded like a coyote, but I'm not sure. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
All right. Well, the one that is kind of sounded like a coyote scream, you know, and I'll say that it was kind of weird because it, at first it sounded like it, but I guess if I didn't have my recorder so close, you probably like can hear. Like towards the end of the howl, you hear it go, you know.
Oh, I see. Okay, it was a howl, but then a coyote howl, but then it kind of petered off into
like,
a.
You know, I didn't like almost like clearing my throat type of thing, and I'm like, well, I know coyotes don't do that, you know.
Right.
So that's
choking on a chicken bone.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of, you know, funny just to listen to him because at first it did kind of sound like that, but I heard that, you know, at the end, you know, I said, oh no, that's not a coyote. And then, but the file that's with it is, it's the old howls. I mean,
yeah.
You know, first, you know, sounds like women screaming, you know, monkey chatter or whatever. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, that's why I said it was weird, kind of real weird, kind of a mixture.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like a dog or a coyote howling, but it really isn't. It's all different kinds of mixed stuff, which is kind of neat. I mean, that was kind of neat. Now, what else has been going on, too, besides that?
I gotta say, I'm kind of like laying out my audio recorder a lot, and so I'm trying to lay out my audio recorder. I'm hearing, you know, I'm footsteps, you know, I hear them walking it, and one of them, I mean, I have the recording of the footsteps so close, I mean, it sounds like, dong, 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 I mean, I don't know what's going on there. That's that thing. It just sounds pretty impressive. But at the very least, it's just very intimidating just to hear it. You know, there have been times when I try to set out the recorder and the game camera, and I won't get anything. You know, so then I just leave out the audio recorder because, you know, I have a lot more success with the recorder than with the game camera.
Well, you've been doing some pretty good recording. It's good, pretty good quality.
Yeah. I have my recorder set to the highest quality that it can record at. So it sounds good. I'm not an expert with audio editing, but you know, I try to reduce.
Well, you tried to filter it out, but you don't even have to do that because it came across really clear. In the unfiltered mode.
Yeah. But it's like I said, when you hear them howls, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Laugh at some folks, like, oh, yeah, it's an owl. I'm like, you know, an owl doesn't sound like that. Yeah. So, but it, you know, like I said, they're howling out there. They're howling out there, and I'm just, you know, being careful not to say where it is, you know, because, don't want to run into the same situation that we had last time, you know.
Right.
Being a little more.
Well, now you've got a bunch of some. You've shown me. I still have your pictures up there, and you've got some pictures of the footprint. You got pictures of the tree formation, and the tree that's bent, snapped over.
That's right.
And that's pretty neat stuff. That's pretty good.
Also on the audio recording. I have to send you another one. Maybe you can get that one up, if you could. But that one, you know, kind of, that one, I will say it does start off as, an owl, sounding like an owl at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then later on, it's just, it's really, really, You know, it turns into monkey chatter, and then you hear ah ah ah, and then you know, then you hear like the monkey trying to sound like an owl, which is, you know, it sounds kind of comical.
An owl trying to imitate a monkey.
Yeah, because it sounds like, you know, because they make that barred owl sound like "Who cooks for you?" But you hear it go, you know, it's just really.
It's kind of neat. No, it's some pretty good stuff. I need to get it uploaded so other people can listen to it. I'm sorry, I apologize for that, but
all right. I mean, if you want, towards the end of the session, I could probably have it audio queued up if anybody, you know. But if not, I understand it. We could wait till next week, next time. No problem.
Yeah, well, we're gonna be on next week, so we can.
No problem.
We'll have it up there. We'll be able to do that. I keep your pictures and your formations and stuff, you know, ready by, and I add to them. That way, people can see everything, what's going on. And if everybody's wondering what that is, on www.bigfootlive.com. You go to the table of contents on the left side of the page of the main page, and you look what's on the show. Click on it. You'll go and you'll see the list of all the different guests tonight. And under Anthony, you'll see a link that'll say slideshow, and it'll have all the pictures that Anthony has, you know, to date here from the last couple of months. Well, the last month. Sent me, and it's some pretty good stuff. Now, Anthony if everybody knows, Anthony was about 3 years ago now, 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, 4 years.
Yeah, about 4 years ago, when you called me and had all those tree formations, and we posted them. And eventually Tom went out there, and you were able to set up an area in the area that you were at, and got footprints. You got a foot cast, and then shortly after that you had a visual encounter. What, two visual encounters, right?
Yeah, they were, it took about a year before I saw anything.
Yeah.
You know, but that's when I first saw those two smaller ones out there.
Right, yeah.
And that was,
of course, ever since then, you've been with us.
Yeah.
You've been out there, and you've been keeping at it. You got together with East Coast Jack a couple of times.
Yeah.
You got together with a couple of neighbors in your neighboring area there, local area, and helped investigate their stuff, and that one guy had some pretty neat encounters from trees, where the creatures were in the trees.
Yeah.
So it's been a pretty active, actually, when you look at it, not bad at all.
Yeah, it seems to be picking up.
Well, what's the weather should be getting better where you're at now.
It is. Getting warmer.
And of course, this means migration, mating season, and all that good stuff. And they'll be coming back. So things are starting to pick up all over. I'm starting to get a lot of calls, a lot of sightings. So we'll see what that brings us in the next month or so. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us. And, of course, we're going to have our little discussion at the end of the show here. And appreciate the time you've taken to share with us, Anthony. Thank you, as always.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to mute you out, Anthony, just for now. I'm actually going to go to a quick commercial, and we're going to come back, and we're going to go to our friend Richard from New York.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were in the law.
And we're back. And now we're going to go out here to talk with Richard from New York. Richard, how are you, my friend?
I'm fine, Marco. Thank you very much.
I did get your picture.
Yeah.
And I did see the, you had blown up that one area there. I did see the face. Pretty neat.
That's what I was going to talk about.
Okay, you go right ahead.
I've blown that face up.
Why don't you preface it? Tell it, first of all, there's a lot of listeners out there probably don't know what you do, you know, that kind of thing. So just let everybody know what, you know, what your kind of your routine is and what you do.
I generally go to the same area day after day after day. It's not hit or miss, and I walk the trail with my camera on video.
Mm-hmm.
Not holding
well,
it up.
Is that a federal or a state?
It's a preserve.
Okay.
It's open to the public except for the Biscardi Sasquatch Preserve. That's signed on both ends saying that it's protected by the New York State Department of Conservation, and it's a felony if you go past that sign and the fence they have up. And that fence went up between the time I called the show and when I went back to on the preserve, a period of 4 days, that fence and sign were up on both ends of the trail. They closed it off after the first call. I talked to Tom that day on the show, that night on the show. And evidently somebody listens in, and I mentioned the trails are marked by color, and I mentioned the color of the markers on the trail, and you can't go there anymore.
Hmm.
Closed off on both ends, and there's no good reason for it. Just like every other trail in that place. And the trails are so well kept up, and they have so much help. And they have a center that actually has classrooms and labs in it. It's better than some schools I've seen. So somebody's given them money. They never ask for money. They never beg for money to keep the preserve open. So they're getting their money from someplace, and I think they're being paid by somebody to keep these things in there in that one area. The only reason I see them now that I get anything is because they're going into the landfill, which is next to the preserve, to get food. I know that's why they're coming down. And I'm catching them on their way in or way out. But pretty much, if they don't want you to see them, you're not going to see them.
Well, I understand. But now, you go through there frequently.
Yes.
And you take pictures, right?
I do video now, Bill, and then I'll take pictures from the video.
Yeah.
I take stills from the video because with the high definition, I think if I hold the camera to my face to take a picture, I've got a couple good pictures. I don't even know where I took them because I do blind shooting because they see the red from when it goes self-focuses. They see that red, and it's like seeing the trail cams. They duck.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just blind shoot, it's already focused, and I just press the shutter. But for the most part, I walk with the camera on video about chest high, holding it as still as I can. And I know where to put the camera now to get them. I know the exact area, if they're there, where they'll be. Usually off the trail, not far off, crouch down, watching me go by. Whether I'm a show to them or whatever, they're curious. You know, they're very curious.
Mm-hmm.
If they think you can't see them, they have no problem watching you.
But, okay, now, and you review the videos that you do.
Absolutely, and Bill, if I don't see blob squatches anymore. In the beginning, I saw blob squatches. Everybody does. It takes a long time to train yourself to know what you're looking for. And I go over my pictures and my video. I put hours into it.
I understand. I'm just, what I wanted to do is kind of explain to people, you know, kind of what you do and how you go about doing it.
And I don't mistake too much anymore. And I blew up the picture I sent you, Bill.
Yeah.
That's part of a video where I call it the Hobbit. It's a 2-foot-tall creature. When you first see it, it's crouched down next to a little bush. And I stopped there because I had sightings in that area before. And I'm explaining how I saw took a picture of a creature that looked like a Neanderthal in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm swinging my camera on video, it stands up to get a better look at me. And I'm swinging my camera right, and as I bring it to left, well, first, let me explain one thing. When I stopped, it had been in 3/4 profile, and it turned and looked at me straight on. Okay, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Then I went, pan my camera to the right. I never saw it. And as I come back, it ducks down. And you can see all this in the video. I tried to send you the video today. I couldn't do it.
Oh,
just
okay.
Just that part, so you could see it. And
I'll give you an address that you can send it free.
Okay.
And you can upload it, download it, and all that.
I was on the computer looking at something about evolution. Earlier in the week,
mm-hmm.
And I'll be a son of a bitch if it don't look like this one museum has these 4-foot tall, the male's 4 feet tall, and the female's about 3 feet tall,
mm-hmm.
And if it don't look like that, I'm sure, whether it's a juvenile or a separate species, I don't know, because I know there's big ones in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they tolerate each other or if they're separate or it's a juvenile or... I the more I seem to find out, the less I know.
Well, yeah, I think that's kind of true with everybody. The more information you get, the more confused you get.
Yeah, you know, but I do know I saw something.
Mm-hmm.
And because that one picture I sent you and Tom before,
yeah.
That looks like a classic Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's big. This looks a little bit different. And you know, you say there's 3 or 4 different types,
well, that's,
maybe more.
You know, these are, when I say that, because these are the encounters and pictures and things that we've experienced over the past 8 years. Okay? And over the past 8 years, you know, there was a period of time when we first started out where it was only one kind. It was the 8-foot, 9-foot, whatever. And, you know, conehead, and that was it. And, you know, big burly looking, you know, thing. The only difference was whether it was more human or less human looking. Okay? Well, since then, we've had many experiences where, besides ourselves, other people have seen very similar type descriptions. And we've compared them. And they've made drawings or had pictures. And we look at them, and they're different. And then, the of course, the most, you know, evidence part of it is the DNA aspect of it. And the DNA is different for 3 or 4 of these different species. So we know.
Yep.
If the DNA is different, obviously, it's not the same species. It's a different species. So that's where we're coming from.
And so, you know, it's that kind of a thing. And we don't, of course, we don't know enough about them to be able to definitely say this or that about them, other than the fact that we just know that there's different species of these things. And, we, of course, we all call them that one, we call them Bigfoot or Sasquatch. But they're probably, you know, a different variety. Just like human, Neanderthal, you know.
Yeah. You know, Bill, by accident, I blew up that picture very large, almost the whole size of my computer.
Yeah.
And now it looks very blurry. I got up to get a cup of coffee, and I turned around, and I looked at it, and when I got 5 feet away from it, it was as clear as a bell. Just being, it came out clear. And I asked my wife to look at it, and she's my biggest critic. She thinks I'm half nuts. And she could see a face. She said, there's a face there.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the face.
Yeah. And Bill, Steve, I think Steve from New York. Probably.
Yeah, we're going to have him on. You guys are going to get to meet after.
I'd like to have a cup of coffee. I think he probably only lives about 45 minutes from me.
Very well could be.
So, you know, you have permission to give him my number.
He wants me to give you his number.
Whatever. You can give mine if he likes it that way.
Well, after the show is over, I'll give you a call and give it to you.
Okay. Well, I'll have to turn my cell phone. You can leave me a voicemail with it.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Yeah. We got to get going. We're getting a little behind here.
Okay.
I want to thank you for coming on tonight.
You're welcome,
Sharon.
Bill.
And,
always a pleasure.
We'll once I get those pictures done, we'll load them up on your little.
I got to send you the video because I've got to.
Yeah, well, I'll get you I'll get you a way that you can send it easily.
Okay, appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Richard, for coming on.
You're welcome, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Richard from New York. And now we're going to go out here to Four Corners, New Mexico, to our friend Dave. Dave, how are you tonight?
Oh, doing good, Marco Bill. Yeah, listening to these interesting stories as they continue on.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Well, you've had some interesting things going on there. Things are starting to pick up a little bit over there.
Yeah, they are. Even here at my house, I'm hearing occasional vocalizations. Last week when I heard what I thought were coyotes, but they were just too perfect and too even. You know, they would sound like coyotes to start, and then they'd trail off into a certain tone, but it was just almost like a quick cutoff, and then they would repeat it. It was like, wait a minute, coyotes usually are more random with their howls. You know, they're not very, they're pretty much precise, but they're just not exactly the way it was the last howl they would do, and these were very precise. I said, hey, wait, and they were going off in the distance, so they were leaving the area, but it was like, hey, that, I don't think that's a coyote, and I grabbed my digital recorder, but as usual, you know, when I got it outside, they just got too distant to be picked up, so just have to wait for the next time, so. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, we've been having some activity actually very close to the town I live here in the San Juan Basin River Valley. I followed up on a story about put together. There was some policemen over at one of our river parks that we have, and they had cordoned off the whole area of the park. Normally, you can walk out there about 9 to 10 in the evening. They have lighted trails and stuff. And I have a friend that lives right there by the park, and he told me that the police had blocked him one night. He said it was close to 10 o'clock, and they asked him what he was doing out there, and he says, well, I'm just taking my nightly walk. And he says, well, we really don't want you to be out here right now, but they wouldn't explain what was happening. And, and Daryl knows that there's activity that goes on down there, but he's not scared or anything. But the policeman was very hesitant. He says, if I was you, I wouldn't be walking out here. Well, I started following up on the story, and I took my bicycle and I rode out there during the daytime, and I did manage to talk to somebody whose property is adjacent to this park. Their backyard literally faces the park. So I talked to them, and it was an older couple, actually, And I said, what's going on here, you know, the other week? I it was police. And he says, well, we had somebody that was knocking trash cans over and causing all kinds of, like, vocal ruckus and stuff. And he kind of didn't really want to get into deep discussion about it. And I said, was it like howling? You know, I started kind of trying to prod him, you know, and I'd say, well, were they howling noises or grunts? And then just about that time, his wife was out there, and she says, we really don't want to talk about it, she said. I said, okay. I said, I understand your drift, I said. So I'm assuming that we might be having some Bigfoot activity in there, but I did have my friend go in there at the same time. He went in there 2 days ago, back where we had actually found some stick formations, and he told me the stick formations are there, and they're actually been modified, so something's keeping them maintained. So there is some, we suspect, is Bigfoot activity. And I also checked out another riverine park. We actually have two riverine parks here in town.
Uh-huh.
for the Animas River. And I had talked to a policeman, last October? And what happened is I was listening to the scanner, the police scanner, and I had heard about all these strange noises going on at the park. Somebody's reporting them. So I actually went over there to one of the parking lots, and sure enough, there was a policeman there. So I just asked him, could I just stay here in the parking lot and do some recording, you know, audibles? I said, I hear there's some weird things going on. And I finally got to talking with him, and I finally said, well, there's been some activity that could be possibly of a upright creature that's hairy. And he kind of looked at me, and he says, well, I'll let you believe what you want to. I'm not going to deny it, and I'm not going to, I'm not going to deny it, but I'm not going to admit it. You know, that's what he said. So, so he knew that something's going on in there. Cool. Well, there were tree formations that were actually put up not long after those vocalizations that I had heard. There was actually a vocalization I tried to record, but my recorder, just at the moment that it was that the vocalization came out, there was a sound of wind, and then there was a, let's see, a static, just a lot of static. So it was almost like it was being blocked. You know, it was kind of weird.
Huh.
Very strange. Well, anyway, stick formations started popping up through the winter, and I started taking pictures of them. I did document them, you know, because I said, well, I just want to see if they're going to change, you know, the status and everything.
Yeah.
So this spring, probably 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, all those stick formations that I'd seen, and some of the trees that had been toppled off at about 8 to 10 foot above the ground, and they were all toppled toward the south. They, you know, we don't hardly get wind from the north to push them down, but they were like pointing down pointing toward the south, the breaks. Well, all those trees and stick formations have been taken down by the city, and right by there's walking trails and stuff down there. So they know something. They know that there's something crawling around up there doing this.
Pretty neat.
They have to. It's like why did they target those trees and not take out other ones that are just, you know, just randomly falling from old age?
Right.
So yeah,
they took out the old took out the stuff that was there. So well, in a way though, that's a kind of a neat thing because. Now, anything new comes up, you'll be able to tell there's a difference, right?
Right, yeah. I've been going down there and taking walks anyway. So I'm going to see if, some new ones will form up again, which probably
mm-hmm.
will eventually. But, yeah, there's people within the city administration that know that there's something creeping around. They probably don't want to talk about it, except for some of the higher-ups. But, yeah, it's, you know, I probably even gave them a little more hint when I talked to that policeman who probably told his superiors, you know, but I didn't say nothing about the other riverine park because I want that one saved.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, I want to thank you for coming out and sharing with us tonight.
Oh, you
you're going to be getting together with Brenda, I'm sure, in the next couple weeks, right?
Yeah, it's going to start warming up again. We got a cold front again, and like we're down into the low 50s right now, headed to freezing again, so it's just wild weather. It's real windy.
Yeah, I know.
Wind chills up and or down, and yeah, it's just crazy. I thought we were 80 degrees yesterday, and now we're back down to, you know, like early March weather.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll see. You're going to stay to the end, right?
Yeah, I will.
Cool. Okay. We'll see you at the end of the show then.
Okay, thanks, Marco Bill.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. And now we're going to go out here to the Swede. And Rocky, they're going to find Swede And I got to find Rocky. Rocky and Sweet, how are you guys?
Man, I'm so happy.
Hey,
I'm doing good, Marco. Hey, Rocky, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm getting caught up on my reloading.
That's what Sweet was saying.
I figured that's what you were up to.
You know, while you're reloading there, when you're reloading there, Rocky, make sure you're reloading and not exploding.
Well, that's been known to happen. But.
Yeah, we won't be doing that anymore. Avoid that at all costs.
Well, those doggone, you know, putting those caps in, recapping.
No, I'm way past that. I'm almost 100 rounds into the finished product.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's why I called in so late. I kind of lost track of time again.
No, that's all right. Well, why don't you guys tell us what's been going on in your area in Arkansas?
Turkey hunters are going on, Marco, so we're staying out of the woods.
I don't blame you.
But,
Richard was asking last Wednesday about the camo thing. We kind of thought that we might throw something out there about some of that.
Sure.
Well, you want to take it, Sweet?
Well, I can. We've talked about the camo some in the past, but we were, you know, if you're going to be out there, everybody's getting to see some activity start to pick up and whatnot. You know, when we go out and about, we like to get out there and sit down and check it out for a while. And, you know, camouflage is a good thing. You know, the whitetails and everything else, turkeys and all that stuff will pick you off. It seems like they can see your big old head sticking up there. Me and Rocky talked about that several times about, you know, the minimum, you know, do a turkey cover, you know, like a turkey hunting net to put over your face or something at the very least, just to knock that silhouette off your head and sit down by a tree or up against some rocks or whatever you've got around there and kind of try to blend yourself in. But, and Rocky can get on some of that. We were talking about it, but I was just going to make the point that, you know, you don't have to go and spend, you know, hundreds of dollars at your local sporting goods or outfitter store around or, you know, whatever chain. You know, there's other ways to get through that to make your camouflage work for you. And there's additional reasons of that, you know, how the red hats, the game wardens and all those people, if you happen to be on government land, you don't want to be stomping around out there like G.I. Joe, because like me and Rocky say, in our neck of the woods, if you get all camoed up and it's not hunting season, you're out there, the first thing they think is you're out there tending to your pot crop. So we try to stay away from that kind of thing, but I'm going to let Rocky go with some of that. Rocky, you want to talk about some of that, some of the things that we do and how we do it?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the main things is the easiest thing in the world to see out in the woods is a human face. I mean, it just stands out there like a spotlight. And you can, you know, a little bit of mud, a little bit of, well, you know, you can use most anything, but you can always stop down by the surplus store and get camo paint for your face. And, you know, it's green and black, and that's all you need. Most animals are colorblind anyhow, and so they see light and dark, and just got to be sure you don't, like, smear black all around your eyes to where it really stands out. Maybe like Petey the Bulldog, have one black eye and then a black spot on your cheek that, you know, you've got to keep it all broke up. And another thing is go down to a surplus store or something like that. You can get camouflaged burlap. Well, take your camouflage burlap with you out there and spread it out over a bush close right next to a tree and get down behind it. And it doesn't make any difference if you're wearing a tuxedo as long as you're covered up. But
don't forget the wind, Rocky. What do we say about that?
Well, yeah, if the wind's in your face, you're in the right place. That means always have the wind blowing into your face. You can go down to the local store and get the hunting store and get the spray on scent hider. You can get on the way out there, step in some cow shit or something. You know, just anything like that'll knock the odor off. Well, now the one guy that hunted with me once upon a time, I had to get on to him because every time we'd go hunting, he'd always smell like a cigarette. So I told him, he's going to have to do something about that and quit, not be smoking out there because they could smell it a mile away. Well, so he put on a whole bunch of aftershave. Well, that made it worse. And so I finally told him that he couldn't go with me anymore. But, like I say, you got it, you got your scent mask. You've got your camo out there. Most any animal that lives out in the woods that way can smell you from a lot further away than they can see you. And so, always have the wind to your face and be sure, go out there of a morning, a few times a week, as often as you can. Go out of a morning, go out of an evening, and see which way the wind is going. It's generally going pretty much the same direction. So, find out the general wind direction, and then find you a good brushy spot. Clear the brush to where you'll have enough room to move. Just keep plenty in front of you. Spread out your burlap. Throw some handful of leaves on top of it. All that. Then break up the silhouette of your head, and then just sit still and listen and keep an eye on things, and might want to take an extra pair of underwear because you might see something that you're not expecting to see, or you might see it closer than you want to and have to change your underwear. But it's all a matter of just breaking up your shape, blending with the bush, doing away with all the man smell. Put something out there that'll get its attention. Put out some fruit. Eat a peach. Something that'll put out a smell that it'll be attracted to. And then just hide out and wait. We've all walked up deers and hogs and all that, but I guarantee you, it's a whole lot easier to sit and wait and let them come to you. And, make it easy on yourself. A whole lot less walking and a whole lot more on camera, like the Swede said. A lot of times they see you walking around out in the woods in camo when it's not hunting season. They're gonna suspect that you may be a pot grower. Now, if they catch you sitting in a blind and you've got a camera, they're gonna say, "Oh, this guy's taking pictures of wildlife." But if they see you walking through the woods with the camo, more than likely around here, they would think that you was a pot grower. You had a secret crank lab somewhere out in the woods. So
come and check you out. They're going to question you, this and that. And then another thing too, you can wear your comfortable clothes and be out there hiking. If you if you run across another party hiking, say it's a, you know, you're not, so people don't freak out, well, oh, yeah, you know, because they think the same thing, that you're out there doing something you shouldn't be when you're totally camoed out. We just carry a small bag and put all of our camo material. You know, don't take a very big bag to put that, you know, that put that burlap in. You know, if you need, got a little net to cover your head with, just you can wad all that up in there and you carry it just like a little old knapsack, not any larger than a sleeping bag thing. You'd have enough camo to camo the world. Sleeping bag size, you know, like a one you'd stuff sack. Then when you come out of there, when you get done with your expedition or where you're checking it out, you get up, you got your jeans on and your T-shirt or whatever it is if it's warm weather, and you walk up through there and you meet, you know, and Bill and Sally or whoever walk on the hiking trail, you don't freak them out. And if you meet the game warden, he just, you know, thinks you're out for a hike. And it saves a lot of trouble, but you still get the great effect. And I'm not necessarily... during the summer months when the vegetation's on and stuff, I don't know that it's a whole lot cooler for you to just be wearing your comfortable clothes and that camo stuff stacked on you. You get up into that blind. I don't know that it's not more effective to be behind that burlap or, you know, something of the sort, some netting or something like that, than it is to have the clothing on, because you block your movement. You got a little bit more freeness in moving, and stuff won't pick up on you. You can shoot your camera, cut you a little hole in there, rip a hole in or whatever, put your camera through there and video away, and nothing's none the wiser. So, I mean, that, we just thought we'd put a little take on that. Richard was asking about that. We've had hunters, we've had people walk up. I know Rocky has, I have too. I have been sitting in situations like that and had a guy stumbling through the woods there hunting. I just thought he was just stalking away, and I saw him 300 yards away, and he'd walk right up to me within just a couple feet of me, and I'd go, hey, and you talk about somebody about to jump out of their skin because they didn't see us sitting there, you know. And it's happened.
Oh, I'm sure it has. Yeah, it's happened to me.
Yeah, you know,
should we open this up for everybody?
Sure, you bet.
Well, Snake Man, you're on. We got the Swede. We got Steve from New York. We got Richard from New York. We got Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. We got Rocky, and we got Steve. You're there, right, buddy?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
I'm talking about General Steve.
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
We got two Steves. We got Steve from New York, and we got the General Giant.
Gotcha.
The General Giant is 7'4".
You sure it's not a Sasquatch?
Hey, Rocky and Swede, can I add something to what you were just talking about?
Yes. You go ahead, yes. Richard.
I could save you guys a lot of time. Why don't you just wear Pampers when you go out and hide? Then you don't ever have to get up.
That's well, why you I know. Jump the Pampers all the time.
You would.
I'm You're way ahead of me.
My, you know what,
I wear
Richard,
them, but
I
I'm not in the woods.
Lose my grip.
Well, does anybody have any questions for Steve from New York, our new guy?
Yes, hey. I do.
Okay.
Steve, the one that you saw so clearly that you looked half ape and half human, did you happen to notice anything about hands or feet or smell?
I didn't smell anything at all, and as far as hands, I'll be honest with you, I was more concentrating on his face and on his, like, his thigh area and his buttocks area, because it was just the muscle, it was just, the mass was unbelievable. It was just unbelievable.
What was the approximate height?
About 8.5 feet, and the weight, I mean, roughly about 800 pounds. I mean, it was huge. It was huge. And, I mean, I've seen several of them before. I mean, I saw one as a child, like I mentioned to you. But it's one thing when you see something when you're a child, and it's another thing when you see something when you're a man, you know, and you're a grown-up. And there's absolutely nothing in front of you, and it's definitely what it is. It's a Sasquatch.
The one that I was asking... encountered.
Who's breathing?
Sweet, you ain't snoring, are you?
No.
But the one that I saw back in 1994, it fit the description as far as the facial features and all that. It was quite a bit smaller, but anyhow, that's why I was curious when you said it looked half human.
It really did, you know. It was just, I really, you know what, it's one of those things when you see it, you know, of course you go into shock. I don't care how many of you've seen them, you know, you've seen them like, I've probably seen 6 or 7 of them, and I mean, but I've never saw one so close. I mean, like I said, I saw one when I was a child, but again, you know, when you're a child, it's one thing. When you're a grown adult, it's something else. And when you see it and you're looking at it and you know what it is, I knew it was a Sasquatch. And it's, when he was getting up, you know, the one thing I'll tell you also was his back. When he was getting up, his back seemed to be expanding. It was just like, it was something like you would never, you know, could even imagine it unless you're seeing it. And you start going into a little bit of shock and you're saying, my God, what am I seeing? And then it started getting up. And like I said, it took 2 steps, went right across the road, and then took a 1 step and went up this like a 5-foot embankment of grass and just disappeared. And that was it. You know, it was just unbelievable.
Well, that was the one in particular that I was curious about. But anyhow, whoever else needs to get a word in here.
Well, Rocky and Swede, you guys were talking about the blinds and all that, but this time of the year, it's a good thing to maybe let them know, too, to check for snakes before they get down into their blinds.
Well, that's one of those things. The way the weather's been, we haven't seen a snake in a while, but that's kind of one of those things. You should always, that's just like checking your boots for stinging scorpions. That's something that I never think to tell people, but I'm always sure to do it. Even here at home.
Yeah.
So.
Here in Paris, Texas, we have started getting a very increased population of snakes. They're starting to slowly come out of their hibernation, so it is a good idea that people start paying attention where they're stepping, sitting, or squatting.
That's probably a good idea.
Hey, Steve from New York?
Yes, sir.
I live just outside Albany, and anytime you want to get together for coffee, I don't think you live really that far from me.
No, I don't. I'm not that far from you, no. I'm not.
Maybe Marco can give you my number and we can get together
somewhere. Oh, absolutely. I would really love for you to come down here and take a look, you know. And,
yeah,
I know
vice versa.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know what, I've never really been an outdoorsman. I mean, I like going into the woods and
me
stuff
either.
Like that.
I'm not Rocky and Swede or the Snake Man or Steve.
And I'll be honest with you, I really, you know, I've, you know, after that experience, I mean, don't take it the wrong way, guys. You know, I'm by no stretch of imagination am I a coward, because I'm not. But I'm terrified of these things. And, you know, I don't know if I mentioned to you guys, there was one occasion when one threw a log at me. That really, you know, that really scared me as well.
Well,
so,
I got news for you, buddy.
You
so am I.
They're throwing one at you, too?
No. I said,
oh,
if you ever see one of my videos, it's like I'm running through the area. I have no backup. Like Rocky and Swede, they've got each other. You know, they know each other's moves. They've got each other's back. I don't have that.
Well,
so
also,
when I go out there, I'm alone.
No,
I'm apprehensive.
And I don't have a firearm either. And,
no, we
you
can't.
Know,
you know, New York State, we can't.
I know. And that's the thing. And then, you know, there was one other occasion, guys, when I was walking through the woods, I did something similar with my cell phone. And
I was videotaping, and then when I went home, and I was going over the videotape, when I started it, there was something hiding behind the tree. And guess what it was, guys? I don't got to tell you. It was Sasquatch. And if that thing wanted to come out and grab me, it could have. I walked right past it. I was about 15 feet away from it. So we all know how good they are at hiding.
Oh.
And we know how dangerous they are. And, I mean, when you have one of those things pissed at you and it yells at you and it throws a log at you, then, you know, that's the indication right there that these things, if they really wanted to, they can kill us at any time they want.
Steve, I had two of them conversing back and forth, and it shook me up so much I didn't even put my camera on video so I could have picked up the audio part of it.
And you know what? You want to hear something? The one we were talking about before, I was talking about with Rocky before. I had very little battery left on my cell phone. Let me tell you something. I froze. If there was any some way, man, if I could have just recorded it, that would have been one of the greatest Bigfoot videos of the head.
Right.
You know what? I think about it and it kills me that I wasn't able to do it because I tell people about this. You know what I mean?
Well,
I tell people about it. I'll tell everybody about it.
If you say you live about 2 hours from New York, you don't live far from me.
No, I don't.
I'm about 2.5, I think.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can even meet halfway for the first time and have coffee someplace.
No, absolutely. I would definitely do that. Right now I'm getting some chemo and stuff like that, so I was there today.
Yeah, I know my brother's going through it, too.
Yeah, it's tough.
He was stage four. I mean...
So was I. Yeah, I was there, too. It's not an easy thing.
Oh, we're going through that now.
You
got to
keep on fighting. You gotta keep
fighting.
And, that's the thing, the whole thing with Sasquatches, there's a lot of naysayers out there. But I know there's people, everyone who's listening to this conversation, who knows that they're real. And eventually, there will be a body, there will be one that will be caught, and all this speculation will be put aside. But I think there's other people, like the government in particular, who probably don't want us to do that, but
absolutely.
That's a story for another time, I guess. You know what I mean?
Everybody that's on this line right now has
right.
had people tell them that they're nuts. Everybody.
Well, they're coming crazy all the time, too.
Every one of us.
Yep.
So, I mean, when you talk to somebody that believes like you do, it's refreshing. Like I talked to Rocky and I talked to Swede. We get on the phone. We maybe talk for an hour at a time or 2 hours.
Or two.
Richard, you have to give me a call. I lost your telephone number, my friend.
Okay, I gotta get you. I gotta get your number from that's Swede, right?
Yes.
I gotta get your number from Rocky.
Okay.
I'll call Swede and give him your number.
That's absolutely okay. Hey, you know, my daughter's moving to Texas. Maybe I'll be seeing you guys one of these days.
Maybe so, Rich. We'll have coffee.
You're not far from Texas, right?
Not at all.
Only about 12, 14 hours, probably.
Not that far.
Yeah. Arkansas's not far from Texas.
They're moving by Dallas.
Oh, we can be to Dallas in 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's
I can rent a car and do that. I'll be down.
Well, everybody, I wanted to thank everybody tonight for coming on and sharing. And I'd like to, Steve from New York, thank you for coming on. I'm going to give a couple people a call here after the show and get you some numbers that you need.
Absolutely.
And we'll see everybody next
Marco,
week. Yes.
Just leave me a voicemail.
Yeah,
okay?
No, don't worry. I'll leave it one way or another.
Thank you.
Everybody out there, I want you to keep Bigfooting and keep the Bigfoot alive. We'll see everybody next week. Maybe Tom will be able to come back on the show next week. Take care now and good night, everybody.
Call me, Sweet.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
There's a lot of weird.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together.